Thank you, everybody, for tuning back into the All Things Sports Podcast. My name is Matthew Gordon. With me today is Matt Barnes. He's been here before, but he's nice enough to come right back, making his return to the pod. Matt, how's everything going for you, my guy?
Everything is good, man. Forgive me. I'm fresh out of the gym, taco neck and sweaty. So if anyone's like, what's going on with him? I literally just got out of the gym. But, man, it's good to be back. It's been a little while since we spoke, so it'll be good to catch up.
Yeah. Happy to have you. I've been seeing those workout videos on your Instagram with you and all the boys. Love to see it. Yeah. Let's jump right in. And I want to know how everything's going for you right now. You know, any big projects coming up? You know, everyone knows about your podcast with Steven Jackson. But what's going on in the life of Matt Barnes right now?
Daddy duty first and foremost. Man, I got six kids, three stepkids, three biological, and we got one on the way. So I'm going to having a son in about a month and a half, man. So it's going to be a full house, to say the least.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, daddy duty first and foremost. And then billing out All the Smoke Productions. We were blessed to be able to start All the Smoke and have the success we've had with All the Smoke. And, you know, through that, we've been able to transition and build an entire company out of that. Paramount came and took Showtime over a little bit over a year ago. We kind of saw that coming. So I was able to, you know, start this company and grab a few people, important people from important places, and was able to kind of build this out. Excuse me.
No worries, man.
Through there, we launched the top of this year, Jan 1, signed a big deal with DraftKings, dropped 5 shows quarter one. We're just doing really well with that. So now I'm really focused on the building and adding pieces to this company, foundational and creators to continue to tell authentic, real stories from the sources' mouths, in several different varieties, from pods to docs to scripted, non-scripted, all over the board. So that's my main focus right now. I'm not doing ESPN no more, no more Kings, no more Clippers. Like, really have honed in on my company, and things couldn't be better.
Yeah, so you're building your own brand. Many athletes struggle with their next steps after the league. Can you maybe walk us through the process of discovering your ventures after you were done playing in the NBA? Just because I don't see many guys doing it like you. So I'd love to know, like, what it was like to kind of dive into those next steps.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said this was the plan. Like, I had absolutely no idea this would be the path, my post-career. I was a big cannabis advocate while I was in the league and really was heavily focused in that when I first retired. That was kind of my main goal, is, you know, changing the narrative on cannabis and dealing with the league and the Players Association. When I was about, I played till I was 37. When I was about 32, 33, I started investing in a few companies that I liked. And, those things kind of started turning at about 36, 37. So I just decided to step away and was excited for what was next. Obviously, spending time with my kids was my priority. I was lucky enough to have a 2-year kind of safe blanket, because I retired the first year into a 3-year deal that I had. So I got paid for 2 years, while I was retired. So that was kind of my what's next window, kind of figure out what's going on within that window. Someone hit me up about doing media, and I wasn't sold at first. There's kind of a thin line between athletes and media, although it's changed a lot since I retired. I wasn't really into it. But this person, kind of persisted, and I ended up giving it a try, the ESPNs and the Foxes, and did well and got good feedback and kind of settled into that position. And through there, I came up with the idea of All the Smoke and reconnected with Jack and kind of built that show out. And, from there, we're an award-winning podcast our first year, and we were able to, build some good steam and momentum in this space, and, kind of slowly started helping to change the way sports media is consumed. And then through there, able to build this production company. So just really been blessed. Again, it wasn't the path I thought I'd be on, but it's a path that I'm on, and I'm eagerly learning day by day what it's like to build this company and create good content. And it's been fun.
Sounds like fun. For someone that has a podcast, I could definitely attest to that. Was Jack always going to be your running guy, or was there like a list of people that you wanted to No.
No, Jack was it. You know, it was we were both kind of doing the ESPN and Fox things at the same time, and you know, being homies from when we played, we just, you know, started talking about, you know, let's do something else that's not so straight line, you know. Although I loved ESPN and working for Fox, it wasn't, you know, we're habitual line steppers, myself and Stack. So, you know, we wanted to do something that was a little more out there, a little bit more us. And I came up with the concept and you know, pitched it to a friend of a friend over at Showtime. And you know, 20 minutes later we were cheersing and taking shots, and they took the show, and you know, the rest is kind of history.
Love that, obviously. I'm very happy for you and your success in the NBA out of it, of course. What has been your favorite? Who's been your favorite guest in the podcast, I guess, that kind of like ties in that your favorite memory from it? What's been like the dopest interview for you guys to have had so far?
I mean, it's tough because I feel like, you know, each interview is special in its way. Obviously, you know, we had Kobe's last interview. We were able to get Allen Iverson, Steph Curry, you know, Will Smith after the slap, you know, Jamie Foxx, Snoop. We just had Sean Kemp, which was an amazing, for us, like a fun interview, you know, getting a chance to, you know, really dig into someone who doesn't talk much, but was an integral part of the 90s landscape of the NBA. So it's hard to say just one. You know, I'll tell you what I enjoy the most though is the ability to humanize our guests and allow them to feel comfortable enough to just share. And you know, I've never told anyone this type story stuff before, and I feel like that's really cool. So I just love what I do. I can't believe I get paid so well to talk about the game now and to interview people. But it's just been a really cool experience, man. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, and I like what you said about humanizing these people because I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm no athlete or no celebrity, but I'm pretty sure celebrities and athletes are used to very like structured interviews, not really like unlocking another
Right.
side of them or like letting that side of them out in any kind of interview. So kudos to you in bringing that out in people. And I think it's really important to have those kind of platforms. And one more question about your like post life NBA. Since retiring from basketball, what other hobbies have you picked up that people may find to be like surprising or like, oh, I didn't know Matt was into that or something like that?
Man, what do I do? I'm a pretty boring person, to be honest with you. Golf, try to play a lot of golf, but obviously with six kids, it's not that easy. But golf would probably be my favorite pastime if I'm not hanging with the family.
Did you pick it up after the NBA or is that
No,
something you've like?
I played it a little bit while I was in the NBA, but kind of started trying to take it and really started to try to work to get better post career because I did have, you know, a lot more time on my hands. So, you know, that's something that I picked up. You know, outside of that, just raising my kid, man, it's been so fun. It's going so fast. You know, my twins are 15 now, and then I have a 5-year-old, and then I have another son on the way, and then I have three stepkids in between that, man. So just like full time
Wow.
daddy duty and just seeing day by day the growth in all my children, man, it's really kind of what I've enjoyed the most post retirement.
Wholesome. Love it. Let's dive right into the NBA. So it's funny, and I pulled this from the last podcast. You told me after I asked you who I thought your winner was going to be for last season, you told me the Boston Celtics were taking it home last year. This year, it was actually the Celtics year. Last year was the Nuggets. But we're going to talk about Tatum and Brown and all of their dynamics and everything. What did you think about this season? Any takeaways, any thoughts? I enjoyed the season. But obviously we saw the emergence of Ant Edwards and other guys like that. What were your main takeaways? What did you enjoy? Obviously you're a Kings guy, Warriors guy. So what did you see that you love this year?
I mean, I think I just enjoyed the season overall, and I think as fans we have to really understand what we're witnessing right now, and it's a passing of the torch. You know, LeBron, who knows how much longer he's going to be going, and he's still great at his age. But Kevin Durant and Steph and all these guys are on the back nine of their career, and as you mentioned, the SGAs and Anthony Edwards and this new next wave of young stars. I think the league is in a really good place, you know, with the Ja Morants, and you add Jason Tatum and Brown to that mix. Luka, I mean, I'm sure I'm missing a ton of other young talent, but it's just like we're witnessing, and I hope we appreciate, you know, the tail end of some of these guys' careers that have brought so much excitement to the game the last 20 years with LeBron and Steph and KD and Klay Thompson and all these guys, so it's kind of winding down, the Draymond Green. So I hope that fans really kind of appreciate, what's happened and what's currently going on right now.
Definitely. And the young guys, those teams, it's no more of the duos, I should say. I'm kind of relating it to the Lakers super team versus a team built like Minnesota that has a bunch of young guys that can defend. We're kind of seeing a shift towards those teams being more successful. I mean, Boston obviously with Stacks, you and I both know that. I want to talk about the Jason Tatum slander, I guess. I don't think there's so much slander. I think there's a little bit in terms of comparing him to other studs, best players on NBA Finals teams that have won. What is your take on just Jason Tatum as an NBA superstar? Personally, I think he's the best player in the Boston Celtics. Do you agree, or what is your opinion on that whole saga?
I love Jason Tatum. He's one of my favorite young players. I definitely do think he is a superstar. But with that being said, he's got an up and coming superstar, if he's not already a superstar, in Jaylen Brown next to him. And that's not a bad thing. I think the media tried to make that a bad thing a while ago. But if you look back, and don't quote me, but I know since Jason Tatum has been in the league, he's done nothing but take his team to the Eastern Conference Finals and the finals. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of criticism that he hasn't got to the top of the mountain before this season, but at the same time, he was doing a lot more than most, even some of our established superstars have been doing. If you look at it from day one, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, his rookie year, he took his team to the Eastern Finals while Kyrie was hurt. You know what I mean? So this guy has always been a gamer. He's grown up in front of our eyes to lead a historical, franchise such as the Boston Celtics. But Jaylen Brown is a great running mate. And obviously, with him attaining that, the biggest deal in NBA history, I think he took a step forward this year in confidence and productivity on both ends. And both those guys, from what I hear, really like each other and care about each other. And I'm glad that they don't let the outside noise creep into that locker room and into their friendship. So I love the duo, huge fans of them, and I feel like this team had a nice 2-3 year window to run it up and grab, maybe one or two more.
Yeah, 100%. I think that starting five is still under contract for next year. I'm not sure about the other years after that. But I agree. What do you think? I mean, I guess it's a pretty obvious answer, but what were your thoughts on Jason Kidd trying to like stir the pot a little bit with them? From someone that's in the NBA, was that common in like your era? Like, did you like
No, I just kind of
that?
it kind of is what it is. It's there's a game on the floor, then there's always the mind games that are tried to, played, and it's different, than even when I played, because the media is so loud these days, because there's so many different platforms and outlets
Everywhere.
to hear it from, and social media is kind of the boat that carries all those messages. So it's hard to block all the BS out, and I know they hear a lot, you know what I mean? So for them to be able to stay locked like this, I think that's a product of that you see a championship through that. So again, I'm really happy for not only the players, but Joe Mazzulla and the Al Horfords, who've been playing 17, 18 years to get his first ring, and Jrue Holiday, who to me will go down as a Hall of Famer. The emergence of Derek White. I mean, you can't say enough good things. If Porzingis was completely healthy, it would have been even uglier, because he was special this year. So it's a really good team, led by a good young coach who's taken his knocks. Because if you recall last year, a lot of people were saying Mazzulla was getting out coached and not making the right decisions. So he got better in the offseason as well, man. So I'm really happy for that organization and for the stigma to be dropped from Jason Tatum, because he is a tremendous young player still only 26, if I'm not mistaken. So what he's been able to accomplish to start his career is Hall of Fame worthy for sure.
Most definitely on that path. And yeah, there was a lot of talk about the Celtics, especially with this year, saying that they beat a lot of injury-prone teams, but they've been beating teams in the East for a while. This team this year was just so much more dominant. I'm totally on the same page with you. So shifting towards another topic, still in the NBA, what do you expect in this offseason? Obviously, NBA offseason trade deadline, everything that's not basketball wise is just as exciting. Do you think we can expect I mean, we're gonna see some big moves, but what do you think we can expect from any team in this offseason in terms of making a splash or anything that you think?
You know, it's hard to predict. I definitely think there'll be some splashes, but it's just crazy when it's funny, like when you hear the podcast and talk to the podcast and you hear from players' mouths like all the deals that could have, would have, should have happened. You know, there's so if fans understood how many players are being talked, even the best players are talked about in trade conversation, because it's, you know, it's back and forth. You want to, you know, go out there and try to build the best team possible. So I mean, you're hearing the Paul Georges and some other big names. You know, LeBron is free now, and is he waiting for his son to re-up? Or, you know, I think that's what continues to make the NBA grow as a business, though, because even in the off season, it's still going to be the talk of whatever time it is, no matter what sport is going on. If a superstar moves in the NBA, it kind of takes over the world for a couple of days, you know, with the buzz and energy and, you know, conversation around it. So, like most off seasons, I think this off season we are going to see some bigger stars, or, you know, maybe some great teams, or, you know, dynasty teams possibly lose a member. You're looking at the Klay Thompson situation. You don't really know what's going to happen with him. So it's a crazy time, but a fun time for fans and people hoping to add pieces, to help put them in a position to win a championship.
Those players that you mentioned, Paul George and Klay Thompson, I think those are two names that are really big in the rumor mill right now. So I'm curious to see where they end up. And real quick, I just want to talk about Bronny James real quick. What do you think about his NBA potential? I mean, obviously, huge debate right now with LeBron still in the league. LeBron still wants to play with him. It's not like so hidden that he wants to do that. Do you see Bronny as a valuable asset to a team? And you know, his player comp, who would you kind of align him with, would you say?
I think Bronny is a very high IQ, skilled basketball player. He's just not as big as his dad, if I'm not mistaken. He's 6'1", 6'2". But the people who've been training him are good friends of mine, and they train my kids. And you know, he's trained and done well, you know, this summer leading into the draft. So it'll be really interesting, you know, where he goes. You know, people want to, oh, he's only getting drafted because he's LeBron's son, and that there's, you know, beliefs in that. But I feel like there is a talent there. I don't think people should expect his dad. I think they should just respect who he is and what he's about. Again, a smart player who's going to lock in on defense, you know, knock down shots. And if you can do that to start off, he's going to be a value to any team. If you can guard the one and the two and knock down open shots, you're going to get an opportunity in the NBA. And I think through that, he'll be able to grow his game and expand his game offensively until he's a, you know, a solid two-way player. So, you know, you don't ever want to put too much expectations, but it's hard when you're talking about LeBron James's son, because LeBron James has been so great. But you know, I just look at it from, you know, this LeBron's son has an opportunity to make it, and he's his own player with his own style, and trying to create his own legacy, or you know, create, you know, his for himself. So it'll be interesting to see. But again, I definitely think he'll be drafted. I think someone might sneak in and just take him, you know, maybe into the first round, just to kind of mess up whatever plans that may be being orchestrated right now. So, you know, as it stands, I think the Lakers are 55, 56. They just got my guy, the head coach, you know, shout out my guy JJ Redick. So it's gonna be interesting just to see. And I think that storyline alone between JJ, Bronny, LeBron, like, that's gonna stir for a big part of the summer. So it's, again, the NBA is in good hands.
I love how you mentioned that because I'm seeing, just like everybody else in the sports media world, I should say, is seeing that the Lakers kind of want him at that 55 pick. What if he's taking a couple picks earlier? Do you see that happening? I think it's so interesting for me. It's like I'm thinking, okay, are the Lakers going to try to trade up? Our team's going to threaten to like release any kind of rumors that they want Bronny. Like, it's a really interesting saga because it's like, you know, no one knows where he's going to go, and LeBron clearly wants to play with him. So, can a team draft him to gain leverage to then deal him? That's where my
Yeah,
mind is at.
I think so. A team could be an asshole, you know, 'cause if you think you're drafting in your 40s, you know, mid 40s to you know, to the end of the draft, you're not drafting someone that's going to come in and supposed to change the franchise. You know, you're taking a chance on, you know, a player later in the draft. So I don't see why another team wouldn't just say, let me shake shit up and let me draft Bronny at 42 or 39. You know what I mean? And
Right.
with LeBron free right now, and he's clearly said he wants to play with his son, maybe some teams might mess around and take him on a chance to possibly land LeBron for a year or two. So again, so many what coulda, shoulda is gonna. I think we're just gonna have to sit back and see and enjoy it.
And I'm excited. I think the draft's in 2 days from now, so I'm excited for that. Last question, last discussion I kind of wanted to touch on. It's in the WNBA, and it's the topic's everywhere. Everyone knows where I'm kind of going with this. So obviously, the entrance of rookies amongst the names of Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, Caitlin Clark. What's kind of your vision and your thoughts on everything that's going on, all the talk on Twitter and social media, what you're seeing? To me, I'm torn on if it's just the game of basketball or if there's a little jealousy. I'd love to know what you're thinking about that.
I mean, I just think all the conversation, the good, the bad, the ugly, the in between is good for the growth of the women's game. We've never talked about the women's game to this length ever.
Okay.
Shows weren't showing highlights. Obviously some very talented women have come and gone in the league. If you're a fan of the game and understood the game, but from a casual standpoint of people who weren't really watching the game, like it's never been discussed on the level it's been discussed. And, I've been a fan of the WNBA. I went to the when I forgot what year it was, but when the Sacramento Monarchs won their championship in Sacramento, I was at, the closing game. So, I've always had an appreciation and respect for these women and what they go through, but there's just never really been the attention on the game. But I think the storylines that these women have come into the W with and the brands they are as individuals has made it more of a, eyeballs interest from, sports fans. I think the Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark dynamic and storyline that played out, superhero and villain in college, I was wondering if that energy would carry over to the W, and it has. So I would say those two women right there are responsible or are a big piece of the new attention to the game. But I would be lying if I wasn't saying it's most likely. I think Caitlin Clark edges her when it comes to just people's gauging people's interest, whether you hate her and think she's privileged and she's pampered, or you just appreciate her game and what she was able to accomplish in college, and how she's starting to find her way as a rookie. But both women very talented along with this this rookie class. And whether it's jealousy or not, I'm not in those locker rooms to judge. From the outside looking in, they're looked like, and that's why I said some, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago about, Caitlin getting beat up, and that's a part of the rookie journey. And I had no issue with her getting beat up. My issue was why wasn't her team having her back? They're going to make it tough. I mean, these women are very talented. That the WNBA has always been a physical game. Them go women go out there and talk shit and bump and push and do all the thing the men do. So it's always been a very physical game. And my issue was, her teammates having her back. But I feel like since then, if I'm not mistaken, they just went on a 4 or 5 game winning streak, and she's starting to find her rhythm, and the numbers that Angel Reese is putting up, matching Asia Wilson's, rookie records, and excuse me, not rookie records, but just the comparison to hasn't been done since. But then you look at Asia Wilson, the year she's having, and the crazy numbers she's putting up. So I just think the game is, again, like the NBA, in a good place. I think that people should understand whether there's some jealousy or hatred or why is she giving all this stuff. Allow these young women, and I feel like Caitlin Clark is probably driving the vehicle, but allow these women to be the vehicle that brings eyes to the game and falls in love with more of these players and understands, how hard these women work. I think the game is dope. I've definitely been paying attention a lot more this year, and looking forward to, this season and how the playoffs end up shaping up. But they got some stars in there, and it's fun to watch, and I'm happy for the growth of the game.
Great answer. And the game honestly has caught my eyes too. I always never really minded the product. I always thought it was like a cool watch. Now I'm invested. Now I see what it's really about. Obviously, a little drama can't hurt to make it a little fun. But And real quick, did you think that she, as in Caitlin Clark, deserved to make the USA team? What were your thoughts around that? Because I don't know enough personally,
I
but.
think obviously there's always going to be snubs in situations like that. And you look back when you look at a Christian Laettner maybe, or they put some other rookies that had big names coming into the league that weren't necessarily ready, but they were on the team. But if you look at it and you look at the women that are selected, all those girls are playing really well and currently probably are, I would say probably better than Caitlin. There's no telling, how good Caitlin's going to get, and she'll make plenty of Olympic teams, God willing, with good health. Her game, you already see the growth in her game and in her short career already. So, I mean, obviously it's a touchy situation. You never want to, if you add her, who do you take away? So it's if you're looking for, some people, and I see both sides, do you take the 12 best or do you take someone that's going to help continue to grow the game? She is a global star now. So I'm sure if she was just on the team, naturally that would have brought more eyeballs. But at the same time, the 12 they picked are very talented and, some of the best players in the world. So I see both sides. I get both sides. I personally would have put her on the team though, because I'm just thinking continued growth, continued growth. If Caitlin is out here at the Olympics representing the team, whether she plays a ton or not, that's just going to bring more people to watch how talented the rest of these women are and the rest of the women around the world who are playing this game.
Yeah, and it's safe to say she'll make that team in
Oh, yeah.
Olympics to
Definitely.
come. So, yeah. All right, Matt. Well, thanks so much. It's really great to have you on here, taking your insight from somebody that's been in the league for many years. It's great to hear you. So, thanks so much, and we will be in touch.
Bye, man. Have a good one.